Hello and welcome to Power Pros Podcast, episode 107. I'm your host, The Hoff, Chris Hoffman, and with me is this week's special guest co-host, Too Hot, Scott Michella.
I am back from outer space. Thank you for launching me into space. Thank you for bringing me back for this very special episode.
Well, you are doubly welcome. I'm really glad you decided to come back. People have been asking about your return, and here you are back to talk about Nintendo on this big week of news.
Yeah, I'm super excited. I have been looking for work, and I have a new baby. Well, he's not that new anymore, but so that's what's been taking up my time and why I couldn't co-host the show with you. Maybe once I get some gainful employment, I could possibly co-host, not on a regular basis, but, you know, as a fill-in more often.
Yeah, because everyone knows that that will mean all sorts of extra free time.
Oh, of course, yeah. I don't know if the listeners know this, but you do a ton of work to make this show happen. You're not just doing a lot of the research, but you're actually doing the editing on the show and all the sound design and finding songs and the thing at the end of the show and finding all the reading. So it's not a small amount of work that you do, Chris Hoffman, and I really appreciate it. And I love listening to it every week, so thank you.
Well, I appreciate you saying so.
I'm a subscriber.
Well, let's not waste any time chattering about that. Let's dive right into things. We had a Nintendo Direct just a few hours ago that we're going to be discussing on today's show. We've got some new releases to discuss, and then we're going to have a big topic coming up in a little bit all about our favorite non-Mario platformers.
Cool.
But before we get to that, let's kick things off with all the news out of the Nintendo Direct. Now, as you might expect from a Nintendo Direct at this time of year, there weren't a lot of huge megaton announcements. You know, this was Nintendo mostly talking about its holiday lineup and kind of trying to sell that to folks. But there were a surprising amount of new announcements made. But probably the biggest thing of this presentation was getting new looks at some of the holiday's biggest games, such as Super Mario Odyssey.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Amiibos. I was like, I wonder what Chris thinks is the big news out of this Direct, and yeah.
Well, we'll get to what I thought was the biggest news a little bit later on, but first, Super Mario Odyssey is still looking awesome. We got to see a bunch of new outfits, we got to see some new worlds, we got to see Shavaria in the Snow Kingdom and Bubblane in the Seaside Kingdom. I mean, we obviously knew that Mario's going to go to the typical snow world and underwater world, mm-hmm. but still, it's really cool to see those levels in action. We got to see some new tropical islands, we got to see the new photo mode, and we got to see a topless Mario, which, of course, is very, very thrilling.
Yeah, the internet blew up about Mario and with his bare chest and his nipples.
Yep.
Little digital nipples.
That he had. And then there was that awesome-looking side-scrolling DK homage. That looked really cool.
Yeah, I wish they would have held that back, because I like to be surprised by stuff like that. And that's what, I mean, I watched
I can see what you're saying.
I did watch the Nintendo Direct just for this show, but to be completely honest, I would have skipped over all the Super Mario Odyssey stuff if I was not going to have to be on the show today, because I like to be surprised by that stuff.
However, they'd already been hinting at Donkey Kong for a long time. And to me, the fact that level's in there really isn't a surprise. It'd be more of a surprise if it wasn't in there, for me personally. So it was kind of cool to see that confirmed, and we know that that's going to be in there. And there's going to be more Donkey Kong stuff, and they haven't actually shown Donkey Kong himself, but, you know, you got to believe he's going to be in there, and you'll be having a confrontation with him eventually.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of glad they have held off on actually revealing that. So I'm sure there are still tons and tons and tons of things to see in this game that they haven't shown yet.
I'm wondering, could Donkey Kong team up with Mario, or is he still going to be an enemy in this game? What do you think?
Oh, why not both?
All right.
I mean, maybe he'll be an antagonist at first, and then he'll realize, oh, Pauline really is Donkey Kong's true love, and they deserve to be, you know, happy together. In fact, that might be what happens. Pauline will end up with Donkey Kong, Princess Peach will end up with Bowser, and Mario will just end up alone with his hat.
That's sick. All righty.
It'll be a very tragic end for a Mario game.
Yeah.
And then Luigi will have to console him, and Luigi will mention that for once he is not the most hapless plumber in the Nintendo universe.
Yeah, I thought Luigi would end up with Pauline or...
Well, he's got Daisy.
Oh, he's got Daisy? Who does Rosalina have? A star?
Good
a
question.
Little star creature?
She's like all the star creatures' mamas, so probably not. I don't know.
All right.
She's busy. She's got other stuff to do. Anyway, all that weirdness aside, yes, the game is looking awesome. It looks absolutely amazing, just like everything we'd seen from it before, and, you know, can't wait to play the game that comes out on October 27th. They also announced there's going to be a hardware bundle involved that will include some red Joy-Con, Mario-themed Joy-Con. Of course, I don't need to worry about that, but it's kind of nice they're going to have that out there, especially if it just means more Switches on the shelves for people to be able to pick up once this game hits.
Yeah, but this is one of those things where people are going to start collecting these things. It's just crazy. This limited edition stuff, it's just the Joy-Cons, you know? But
if it like had Mario on the console, that would be one thing, but eh.
Well, yeah, I guess they're just red Joy-Cons, right?
Yeah.
You can't otherwise get red Joy-Cons like that, right? Is that not a color?
Not that I'm aware of, but who knows?
Knowing Nintendo, this will be the only way to possibly ever get that color red Joy-Con.
You never know. So that game's looking great. Also still looking fantastic is Xenoblade Chronicles 2. You know, there was a lot of worry about if it was really going to make it out this year or not, but they have reconfirmed it is coming out this year. It is going to be out on December 1st. And all the cool environments they showed looked amazing. Just, you know, lots of fantastic looking living, breathing worlds on the back of these titans. And it just looked like a ton of variety, ton of neat looking enemies. They told us a little bit more about the battle system, and it has these three drivers, as they're called, and, you know, three blade support characters on your team. So it just looks like it's going to be a really, really robust RPG. And then there's going to be a special edition as well with a 220-page art book, a music CD, and a metal case. So that's all looking really excellent to me. I mean, I'm a huge Japanese RPG fan. Were you feeling the same way after seeing this stuff?
So I got Xenoblade on the 3DS, and I tried to like it, and I couldn't. I played for, like, I don't know, about 20 hours, and I just didn't get into it. I don't know. Maybe something's just wrong with me that I can't enjoy nice things. I don't know why I didn't enjoy it. It looks so beautiful on the Switch. Is this like 100 hours investment in a game like this? Probably.
Ooh. I mean, the first Xenoblade was.
I mean, I haven't even finished Zelda yet. So what does that say? I'm probably going to give this a pass.
All right, spoil sport. Well, I will definitely be enjoying Xenoblade Chronicles 2 when it comes out in a few months. And I will also be enjoying the special Xenoblade 2 Pro Controller with the pink grips and the X across the face as well.
Are you going to pre-order that? Do you have
that's a lie. I'm not really going to get
that. Do you have a Pro Controller?
I have a Pro Controller. I already have a Pro Controller.
Okay, you don't want another one.
No, I'm not going to really get another one. Now, actually, the colors don't really do anything for me much at all. But yeah, it's kind of neat to see that they're making a special controller to help promote the game. But yeah, I'm going to pass on that, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, I can see that.
We also got an update on the new Kirby game for Switch. It now has an official name, Kirby Star Allies. And, you know, it was pretty obvious before. It was a four-player simultaneous game. Now they have confirmed that. And they have confirmed it is coming out in spring 2018, next year. It looks full of flash and spectacle and nice bright colors. And should be a pretty fun multiplayer game, I would say.
Yeah, it looks like a blast. I'm a sad person and will probably only play by myself. But I wonder what the CPU characters are going to be acting like. Are they just going to be a bunch of dumbasses, like, running around making my life miserable? Or are they actually going to be helpful?
Well, I'm sure they'll help out at, you know, those specific points at the very least. When you need, like, four characters to, you know, get past an obstacle or something like that.
Yeah, I'd love to be able to swap between the characters as I play. I don't know what benefit that would give me, I guess, but...
Yeah, I don't know. That'd be nice if that was in there, I suppose. Anyway, hopefully when it comes out, I can drop by and we can do some two-player simultaneous playing at the very least.
Yeah, and it's really wishful thinking to think you're going to play four players on this, because who can get a hold of an extra set of Joy-Cons around there, out there? I'm really just bummed out about supply issues. I would have definitely bought a second set of Joy-Cons at this point if they were, you know, even gettable at this point.
Well, maybe by spring of 2018 they'll be a little bit easier to get. So wouldn't bet on it.
So spring of 2018, okay. Well, I'll have to clear some room in my schedule to play that one.
Indeed. And then we also got a new look at Pokemon Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon. And to be honest, I was not blown away by what they showed about those games today.
This feels like double dipping to me in a major
way. Yeah, I loved Pokemon Sun. I loved Pokemon Moon. And then from the footage they showed today, it kind of felt like it's really going to be a rehash of what was such a super innovative Pokemon game last year. And, you know, maybe I'm just reading too much into it. Maybe there's a lot more to it than meets the eye. I'll still probably pick it up anyway. but I have a few concerns that after leaving me so refreshed with the Pokemon franchise last year, that this one's kind of going to leave me feeling the opposite way, but we'll see.
Yeah.
On to other news, brand new, fresh news out of this event. For me, the biggest deal was the Nintendo arcade games, because at long last, these classic, sort of lost Nintendo arcade games are coming to console in the Arcade Archives series. And it's starting with Mario Brothers on September 27th, but we're also going to get stuff like versus Super Mario Brothers, versus Balloon Fight, versus Ice Climber, versus Pinball, versus Cuckoo Land, and last but not least, the arcade version of Punch-Out, which I've always wanted to have on a home console. So, you know, some of these games are more exciting than others, but for me, what makes this just so wonderful is that, you know, this is like a lost part of Nintendo's history that's pretty much impossible for most players to experience. I'll bet a lot of players, you know, didn't even get into Nintendo until, you know, arcades ceased to exist. So this is like the only way to play some of this stuff. And it's just something I have been eagerly awaiting for a long, long time. You?
Yes, this definitely was exciting for me. I'm very lukewarm on some of those versus games, but Punch-Out and Mario Brothers and the prospect of getting Donkey Kong and Donkey Kong Jr.
That would be nice.
That would be really, really nice to have. Hamster did a great job with the Neo Geo ports. And
they brought over a lot of stuff so far.
So I don't know, coming out of the gate, if Nintendo really planned to do this. And they can see, obviously, how well those Neo Geo games have performed on the eShop for the Switch. And I bet they're selling gangbusters. They're consistently, when they release, in the top five. Some of them have made into the top three. And I think even one of them, like, I think Metal Slug made into, like, top one. I think it was first place for at least a day. But
that's a well-deserved game.
So I think this was just obvious for them, like, hey, this company's porting arcade games. Let's give them some of our classic titles, some classic arcade titles, and see what they can do with them. So that's really great. I am not too keen on, like, versus Ice Climber. I don't know who in the market is going to get Cuckoo Land.
I'll be honest. I have no interest in Cuckoo Land. Versus Balloon Fight isn't really my thing. Versus Ice Climber isn't really my thing.
Yeah.
But still, if they price these right, I will still go ahead and buy the whole darn lot of them just so I can play them. Like, oh, wow, this is different from this NES version I've played so many times in, you know, these subtle ways. It'll just be, you know, a really nice thing to have in the collection as, you know, sort of a big part of gaming history. You know, even if I'm not going to be playing Cuckoo Land or versus Pinball a ton, you know, I will still be like, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, Punch-Out is one of those arcade games that you will not see out in the wild too often because it was two monitors stacked vertically. And, you know, those CRTs eventually go bad.
It's a very hard game to maintain.
It is.
And every time I have played it, the controls have been so messed up, it's been virtually unplayable.
People really, like, rail on those controls. They really mash when you're playing a boxing game, you tend to put your weight into the controls. You're right. I have not played Punch-Out where all the controls worked, and like even like the knockout button would be broken, and that's a disaster.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty good at Punch-Out on the NES, so I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna walk up to this and start doing really well, but the controls were so busted and unresponsive, like, you know, I could barely make it past the first guy, you know, if I was lucky. So yeah, it'd be nice to be able to play this, you know, in modern form on a modern system.
So if I remember, Punch-Out was by today's standards, I think it might be judged as a little culturally insensitive, more so than even like the original Punch-Out on the NES.
I don't know, man. The Wii version is probably the most culturally insensitive that there was. Yeah, they went all out.
I wonder if they'll have to clean some of that up.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Well, you know, Soda Popinski's name is Soda Drunkinski in the
Vodka Drunkinski.
Oh, Vodka, that's right, Vodka Drunkinski. And like the Italian guy is Pizza Pasta, and there's a bunch of others. So just speaking from, you know, arcade preservation, I think it would be a real shame if they did go in there and clean that stuff up. But I would also maybe appreciate like a disclaimer at the top, very similar to what Warner Brothers did with the re-releases of the Bugs Bunny cartoons, but couches it by saying, listen, this was made at a different time. It may go a long way to just have a little disclaimer, maybe even in like the instruction manual.
Maybe so. Maybe so.
Anyway.
But yeah, this is something I've been waiting for ever since they had arcade games on Wii Virtual Console. And you know, they had all these classic games on there. And I was like, well, how come Nintendo doesn't put their games on there? I mean, this is Nintendo's system. They're doing virtual console, they're doing arcade games. Why aren't they here? And well, they're finally going to be here in just a couple of weeks. And I cannot wait to play.
Yeah, and I hope Hamster adds some value to these games, maybe some challenge modes, maybe some high score, like online high score features.
Yeah, a lot of their other games have had online leaderboards, yeah. So if that feature was in there, I wouldn't be too surprised.
Speaking of which, I did pick up that Namco Arcade Museum collection on the Switch, and I love it. It's really well done. And if you go into the Pac-Man high score area, I should be somewhere in the top five right now in the world for Pac-Man.
Oh, all right. Congratulations.
I've spent some time learning the patterns, and I got up there pretty high. So if you see the name Scott up in somewhere in the top 10, that's me.
Well, I'm glad you had a lot of time to practice when you're floating in space.
I did.
That's awesome. All right, moving on to some of the other items from this Nintendo Direct. We got an update on Project Octopath Traveler, which still has a ridiculously stupid name, even if it is a tentative title. But more than just an update, we got a playable demo.
Yeah, this demo came out way in advance of the release of this game.
The game doesn't come out till sometime next year,
yeah.
But you can go on your Switch, download the demo right now, and check it out.
And it's almost a gig. So I didn't even bother, but you did.
I did. And what we found out about this game is the reason it has such a bizarre title is because it does have 8 main playable characters, and so that's why it's called Octopath. And 2 of these characters are playable in the demo. You can play as Ulbrich, a swordsman, or Primrose, a dancer, and they each have these unique skills. Ulbrich can, like, pick a fight with any character and defeat them in battle. And Primrose, I guess, can allure people and make them do her bidding and have them follow her around to various places and stuff like that. And I didn't really get to play the demo that much. I played as Ulbrich for, you know, less than a half an hour, and it seemed like a pretty fun, if somewhat typical, you know, Japanese RPG, fun turn-based battles. Of course, you know, even just by looking at the screenshots, you know the game has a very unique look. It looks like, you know, fantastic high-res 16-bit sprites in, like, this pop-up book-style world. You know, I really like the look of it. I would love to see Square, like, have them remake the Super NES Final Fantasy games, like, remake Final Fantasies 4, 5, and 6 with this graphics style. I think that would be really, really great. And the music was fantastic as well. I was loving the music so far.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Yes, very literally. Mm-hmm.
I was worried about this, like, 16-bit art style mixed with this, like, you know, depth of field kind of thing. What do you think of the graphics of this far into the game?
I think it works pretty well. Obviously, it you know, doesn't scream super duper modern system. Mm-hmm. It does have a retro look to it, but I think it's pretty cool. If there's one thing I have to complain about visually, is that some of the text on the screen is pretty small. I was playing on my TV, so it was fine, but I could see if you're playing in handheld mode, mm-hmm. you're going to need to whip out a magnifying glass to make this thing readable. Mm. But then again, this is a demo. They are asking for people's feedback, and hopefully that's something people will say, hey, the text is just way too small when playing in undocked mode. So hopefully they can fix that up for the final game.
So we're beta testing this, basically.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
Yeah. But so far, it reminds me a lot of Saga Frontier. That was an old Square RPG where you got to choose from various characters, and they all had their differing stories. You'd play things from different perspectives, and they'd sort of intertwine, or maybe not. And so it kind of feels like a revival of that sort of thing. Like I said, I haven't played enough to really say anything else about it, but I'm definitely intrigued. I'm curious if you'll be able to swap between characters, you know, mid-story, if you get sort of, you know, tired or stuck on one character's story, or if maybe they'll have an impact on one another or anything like that. But, you know, so far, so good.
Awesome. I don't see a reason why you wouldn't download this demo unless you ran out of space on your Switch.
For sure. Speaking of games from Square Enix, we also found out that Dragon Quest Builders is going to be on the way to North America next spring. It's going to be published by Nintendo, and as you can tell from just looking at screenshots, it's pretty much just a mix of Dragon Quest with Minecraft. Not really my thing, but glad to see it's going to be coming out here. Another game that got announced is Kirby Battle Royale. It is coming out January 19th. It is going to be offering 4-player fighting with multiple modes, including like free-for-all battles and treasure collection modes, and also a single-player story mode. That's kind of cool and unexpected.
Yeah, I like the 3D on the 3DS so much that I will like rewind the video to see if it actually says, you know, game playable in 2D only. And yes, this said that. Yes. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. We're going backwards. How in 2017 on a console called the Nintendo 3DS have they gone backwards and now they're releasing games in only 2D?
That is definitely a bummer, but that's what's happening with Nintendo right now.
It's really discouraging. It's a complete bummer.
They're focusing on the new 2DS now. They like don't even care about the 3DS.
Yeah, so
yeah, that's only going to be in 2D and that's kind of a bummer. You know, Mario Luigi isn't going to be in 3D. Yeah, it's a shame. It's definitely a shame. So that's a no for you on Kirby Battle Royale.
It's a complete and utter no. And the fact that they did this with Mario and Luigi just burns my biscuits. I get it. It's not made for me. It's made for a younger audience. It looks cool, but this is not a game I'm going to buy. I'm sad.
Okay, well, if it's 3D you want, then maybe Nintendo has you with their next announcement, which was a new Mario Party game.
They do have me with that. That sounds like fun.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, this is Mario Party, the top 100, coming out November 10th. That's kind of a big surprise announcement out of nowhere for a game that's out in just a couple of months. And I'm intrigued by the fact that you're looking forward to this because, you know, sort of the stigma surrounding Mario Party is a lot of times people are like, oh, well, it's just a bunch of rehash stuff. We've seen this all before. And in this case, you know, it literally is rehash stuff. Here's what I think should be their tagline for it. If you thought Mario Party felt like a rehash before, you ain't seen nothing yet, because this game actually is a rehash. But so, like, as the title implies, yes, they've taken 100 of the best minigames out of the past, 10 Mario games?
Yeah.
And put them all together, and they're going to be in one cartridge. And apparently the game's going to be in 3D. I don't know if, like, the whole thing is, but it actually does say 3D on, like, some other releases.
3D.
So that's good news. But, so you're excited about this one, huh?
I am, and it's funny because I don't think I'm the target market for this game, but I have nostalgia for those old Mario Party games, and I would probably have to break out my three 3DSs to play with three people. But at this point, don't we all have at least two 3DSs?
Does have download play, so as long as your friends have 3DSs, then you can easily get a multiplayer game going.
And I easily have spare 3DSs in my house, so yeah, I think this is something I would say if you're, you know, going out and meeting up with some friends, this is something to bring along, kind of like you would bring along the Switch. But this would have that, like, X factor where if you're going to be hanging out with your old college buddies and this is what you played in college, it's going to blow their minds. I think that's fun.
Well, I'm glad you found something that makes you happy. Also announced was Snipperclips Plus for Switch. This is going to get a physical release in stores where you can get this expanded version of Snipperclips, or you'll be able to buy it as DLC for if you own the existing digital game. And what it does is it adds more content, more challenges, more multiplayer stuff, all kinds of more Snipperclips goodness if you were into that game originally. Me, I never really, you know, was hooked by it that much. You know, maybe it's because I'm mostly a solo player on Switch. Or maybe it's because when I did try playing it in multiplayer mode, it was mostly just, you know, me and other people yelling back and forth at each other saying, no, do that, do that, do that. And, you know, by the time it was over, we, wanted to, you know, throw each other off a cliff.
Yeah, it's an inventive puzzle game. I had a lot of fun with it, playing it with people who don't normally play video games.
Mm-hmm.
And I could say that about, like, the Jackbox games and stuff, too.
Sure.
So I love Snipperclips. It was a lot of fun to have this as a backup game when I was, you know, taking a break from Zelda when I first got my Switch. So I'm excited for this. I'm not going to buy the physical version at this point because I've already bought the digital.
That makes sense.
$20 sunk into a non-physical copy of this game. So do you know how much this Snipperclips Plus is going to be at retail? Do we know? I think this will be an interesting case for what's the cheapest physical release Nintendo can do. Because if they charge a penny over $40 for this, they're crazy.
Well, as it turns out, it is only going to be $30. That's $29.99 if you picked up at retail, or $10 as DLC add to the $20 core price of the downloadable version. And you'll be able to pick it up on November 10th. Nintendo also announced a little bit of hardware news. They announced a couple new versions of the Nintendo 2DS XL system. We were wondering before, why isn't there more 3D? Well, clearly their focus has been on the 2DS, and I guess they just care about the 2D because that's all we're getting as far as these new editions go. On November 3rd, we're getting a Pokeball edition of the Nintendo 2DS. And then on October 6th, we are getting a orange and white version. Neither of those are things that are going to make me plunk down money for another system, let alone a 2D system. But that's kind of cool if those are coming out.
Yeah, I wish it offered more than what I already have, but it's actually less than what I already have. My goodness. All right.
But I'll bet this Pokeball edition sells like hotcakes. I'll bet that's going to be impossible to find.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's going to be
nuts. The orange one looks cooler than that Pokeball one, but I get it.
Well, that's just my prediction. More exciting to me, though, is that we got a bunch of release dates for upcoming Amiibo.
Amiibo!
We found out that the Koopa and the Goomba are coming on October 6th to coincide with the new Mario Luigi game.
Did we not already have these? They look so familiar to me, like I've seen them before. They didn't exist?
Well, they are very iconic versions of these characters, but no, this is the first time we're getting them in Amiibo form. We've known about them for several months, but yeah, they're going to be out next month. Also next month, we're going to get Crom and Tiki from Fire Emblem coming out on October 20th, the same day as Fire Emblem Warriors. No shock there. And then the Zelda Champions are going to be coming out on November 3rd. I wonder if that's a hint as to when we're going to see the next batch of Breath of the Wild DLC. Who knows? At any rate, we will be getting those four Champions figures coming out in early November. Mm-hmm. And of course, I will be picking up every single one of them.
Yeah, they look cool. I'm concerned that there's inherent spoilers in seeing those Amiibo. So, hey, if you haven't played through Zelda yet, avoid looking at those.
I don't know. Other than knowing that these characters exist and are in the game, which is already pretty much common knowledge, I wouldn't say there's anything particularly spoilery about them. I mean, maybe seeing what they unlock and being like, oh, well, this character is connected in some way to this divine beast. But again, that's nothing that's especially spoilery, I would say.
No, I guess not, but eh. Do you really need another helmet, though? It's really just about getting the Amiibo.
I don't really care about the gear.
Yeah.
I mean, all acquired in the game, but most of the Amiibo outfits that I've gotten in that game haven't been very useful. They've kind of been underpowered and weak and haven't really given it any benefits. Mm-hmm. It's just an aesthetic thing, and leveling them up is really hard, but I love the way the Amiibo looks, so, you know, I'm just going to get it just for that. Even if they didn't do anything, I would buy these, add them to my collection, and put them on my shelf.
I'm going to guess, just based on what I'm seeing on the internet, that Zora guy, he's going to be hard to get. People are going to buy like multiples of that guy.
Yeah, he's not even getting an Amiibo.
Oh,
sorry.
He's not? What?
Nope.
What is?
These are the champions. Are the four champions that were originally in control.
Why are they champions? They died. They all died, didn't they? They're all dead.
They did. Boy, speaking of spoilers, but yes, they were the four champions who were chosen to pilot the divine beasts before they were defeated.
Huh.
I think it would have been cool if they had done Amiibo of the four, you know, modern day.
Yeah, I was way more connected with the characters I talked to get to the dungeon than I was.
Well, I'd buy them both. I will definitely get these four. And if they made four more of Prince Sidon and the other, you know, modern day quote unquote champions, I would definitely add those as well. Moving on to a bit of third-party news from the Nintendo Direct. We got the announcement of a Minecraft, a new Nintendo 3DS edition. And not only the announcement, but apparently the game is already out. It is already out now in the eShop, and you can download it already. Yeah, they didn't waste any time with that one. Just one of those surprise, here you go sorts of things. This feels, you know, sort of too little, too late. I mean,
yeah,
why are we getting Minecraft so freaking long into the system's life cycle? Obviously, as you can tell from the title, it's new 3DS only.
Yep.
But, you know, it's a super popular game. I guess it does make sense. It'll probably still sell like gangbusters. It's obviously only digital right now. A physical version is coming down the road. It will have both regular button controls and touchscreen controls. I think it's kind of crazy that, you know, we didn't get this game like years ago on 3DS in some form.
And it's in 3D, if I'm not mistaken, which is actually
kind of exciting.
Unless you have a super like modded PC, there's no way you're gonna play Minecraft in actual 3D. So I think this is really neat. I do wish it came earlier in the life cycle of the 3DS.
Well, maybe
3DS.
That's why it needed the power of the new 3DS to be able to do it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why it took so long.
Yeah. Well, there's definitely a market for this. And Nintendo knows what they're doing. They're selling two DSs to kids who play Minecraft all day, and they're going to buy Minecraft 3DS. They're going to play their game in 2D. Oh, can they play it on the 2DS? Yeah, the 2DS XL,
yeah,
right?
Yep, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yep, absolutely. We also found out that we got some stuff coming from Bethesda to Switch. We've got Doom coming this holiday season, and then Wolfenstein 2 coming early in 2018. Mm. This was kind of a surprise to me, mm-hmm. and it's pretty darn cool that we're getting these games. I mean, they're first-person shooters, so they're not really too much my alley, but it's still awesome that we're getting this kind of support. We're getting some M-rated shooters out there on the system. I think this is definitely good news.
Yeah, this Doom has gotten a lot of love online.
Yeah, lots of rave reviews.
I didn't play Doom, but people really love this game, and people are super excited for it to come to Switch.
Mm-hmm.
It apparently runs really well on a less than optimal PC, so I guess porting it over to the Switch wasn't terribly difficult, but that's really great. I'm excited. That's huge news. I think a lot mm-hmm. of people are going to buy Doom, even if they've played through it already on the Switch, to have it on the go.
And along those same lines, you know, this wasn't exactly new news from the Nintendo Direct, but they did mention it on the show, and that is that L.A. Noire is coming out from Rockstar on November 14th,
mm-hmm.
which I'm thinking, well, that's really cool. It's a very neat game. It was very unexpected this would be coming out on Nintendo system. If you're not familiar with it, it is a 1940s crime drama with both action and these Ace Attorney-style investigation sequences. And it's really cool to see that Rockstar is testing the waters with a game like that.
Yeah, this game, I didn't play it. My wife did, and she really enjoyed it. It's very story-centric, so
it
you're
is,
really
it
playing
is.
It to get the story. It's very similar to those Telltale games.
I only play it a little bit myself. I tried it out at a friend's house, but I liked it well enough that I did end up picking up the PS3 version when it was on sale. Mm-hmm. And of course, then I never went back to it because I was too busy playing stuff on Nintendo systems.
Yeah.
But I did like what I played. I just kind of worry that it's a really weird choice for Rockstar to use as like a litmus test. You know, it's kind of like when Square Enix decided to put Deuce EX on Wii U, or EA put Mass Effect 3 on Wii U. I'm just worried that it might be a little bit obscure, or maybe, you know, not hit the Nintendo audience properly. And so it might not sell that well. It might kind of send the wrong message if it does. So I do have that concern that because they're not like putting on their, you know, top tier AAA properties on the system, i.e. GTA, mm-hmm. that then it's going to send the wrong message. They'll be like, nope, obviously our stuff's not going to sell. It's not going to happen. But that aside, it is exciting news.
Yeah, and there's nothing else like it on the Switch right now. So
no, there's not. I mean, there's not much else like it on, you know, pretty much any system. It's a unique combination of action, investigation, and the setting and all that. So it's definitely a game to, you know, pay attention to.
Yeah, a lot of famous faces and voices in the game, too. So you may mm-hmm. recognize them.
On to something that is a little bit more Nintendo and a little bit more traditional, is we got the announcement of the Alliance Alive for the Nintendo 3DS. This is a very traditional-looking RPG that's coming from Atlus. It's got turn-based battles. It's got nine heroes with intertwining stories. It looks like a, you know, somewhat typical Japanese RPG, but that is A-OK by me. It looks pretty cool.
I agree. I don't know much about it, but the trailer looks really cool.
Yeah, it was just announced in the U.S. today. I hadn't really been paying attention to it in Japan, but you know, Atlus is known for doing great stuff. They're still supporting the 3DS with a lot of cool games, and I'm looking forward to finding out more about this one.
Me too.
It is coming in early 2018. All right, and I think that wraps up pretty much all I wanted to talk about coming out of the Nintendo Direct, but there was a bit more Nintendo news that came out just a day or two ago, and that was about the upcoming Super NES Classic. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yeah. I've been following it, and I'm lucky enough to have an SNES Classic pre-order, and I have an NES Classic on my shelf. Not on my shelf, on next to my television.
Well, for those who aren't as fortunate, Nintendo has announced the good news that they are going to be increasing the supply. They are increasing production on the Super NES Classic. It is not going to just be cut off at the end of this year, like they've been saying before. Production is going to continue into 2018. And in fact, they are saying that on launch day for the Super NES Classic, there's going to be more systems available than there were for the entirety of last year of the NES Classic. Mm. So that is definitely promising.
I didn't know that they were going to have more than they made available in the entirety of last year. That's pretty great.
That's what they're saying. So, you know, They did pre-orders, and that was great, except then they sold out instantly, and everyone's like, oh, man, it's happening all over again. But this, I think, is exactly what they needed to say to reassure customers that it's not going to be a disaster like it was before. There actually will be enough. They're going to keep making them. They're going to, it sounds like, make enough to try to fulfill demand, and they are trying to discourage people from paying ridiculous prices on eBay and stuff like that.
I just don't see how they could possibly satisfy the insane demand for these things.
Well, I mean, I think the way to do it is just to, say that it's not limited, production will keep coming, and, I'm sure there will still be shortages, but it's definitely good news. And then they're saying that the NES Classic is going back into production. I mean, it feels sort of a little late to be saying this now after saying we were done and people have already been like, well, my only choice is to pay three times the price on eBay.
Yeah.
But they are saying that next summer it will be coming back. So if you weren't able to get one, you don't have to pay those exorbitant prices. You will hopefully have a chance to get another system next summer. So it seems like they really have been listening to people's complaints, and they really are trying to get more of these out there. And, hopefully this will prevent, GameStop from trying to scalp it by bundling it with, ridiculous knickknacks you don't need and stuff like
that. Oh, man, that was ugly. That was really, that was really pathetic. Those dumb bundles with those crappy things nobody wants, like the Link robe that you're going to just, I don't know what the heck you're going to do with that, or the Tetris lamp. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
That was awful. But this certainly seems like a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
And, if Nintendo wanted to send a message that they are trying to do things, this is it. This is, the message sent. We'll see how it all goes in a couple of weeks when the thing actually comes out. Will you be able to walk into a store and buy one? If you line up, starting at midnight, will you be able to even get one? Who knows? We'll see. But I think it is certainly promising.
Oh, man. What a debacle, though. Next summer, that just feels so, it just feels so far away.
It does. I mean, that is, it's like a year away.
People,
and if you haven't got your NES Classic yet, that's a long time to wait for one.
I don't want
to
get morbid here, but people who want this are possibly going to die before next summer, before this thing comes out. It's like, seriously,
well, let's try to avoid a nuclear war, and hopefully that won't happen.
Yeah, it's just kind of surprising. A company with umpteenth billions of dollars in a bank somewhere has a problem meeting the pent-up demand. I'm going to stop belly aching, but my goodness, I really wish everyone who wants one of these could get one. I know that Nintendo doesn't want a situation where you go into Radio Shack and there's 30 of these on the shelf and nobody wants them, but there's got to be some balance between that and what we have right now, which is people that want these devices can't get them.
Absolutely. So I'm going to keep crossing my fingers and hope that it all does actually work out much better than last time. So, yep, we'll see. All right, that was a whole bunch of news to go over. Let's move along to some recent game impressions, starting with Monster Hunter Stories for the Nintendo 3DS, which came out last week. I've played about 10 more hours of this than I did the original demo, and of course, your progress completely transfers over from the demo, so everything you've done, everything you've acquired, every monster you have, it all just seamlessly transfers over very easily, so I've now put in around 18 hours into the game in total. My main thoughts from the demo haven't changed too much. The production values are still fantastic, and that includes the amazing CG intro, which is there in its entirety in the demo. That includes a very fun battle system, and that includes the fact that it's probably a little bit too ambitious for the Nintendo 3DS. The 3D effect is kind of unimpressive, and there is a lot of draw-in, and there can be a little bit of janky collision when you're trying to make contact with another monster on the map to start a battle. But still, despite all that, I think it is a pretty darn solid game. You didn't pick this up, did you?
I did not. I've played Monster Hunter games. It's not about how much money the game costs. It's about how much time I have to play the game, and I just don't have the time to play a Monster Hunter game.
Well, I can understand you saying you don't have the time, but this is really nothing like previous Monster Hunter games.
This is a bite-sized Monster Hunter game?
No, it's very big. But the difference is that whereas the other games are, about teaming up with your friends and going on these, quests, mm-hmm. these action-based quests to hunt down the monsters, this is a turn-based RPG. Obviously, that does not lend itself well to a small game.
Ah, I did not know that.
But it lends itself to a very different type of game. So if you were never able to get into Monster Hunter like I was, because, you know, there was just something about the combat. Like, I kind of found the combat to be kind of sluggish at times, and I found the quest system to be a little bit cumbersome. And because of that, I never really was able to spend tons of time with any previous Monster Hunter game. This has totally changed that. It's a very different kind of game. And since playing the final full version of the game, I've definitely got more appreciation for some of the features of this game, like, you know, the variety of monsters you can acquire. Like, there wasn't much reason to change monsters in the demo. You know, you got this one monster and it seemed, you know, just fine to stick with that monster most of the time. But now it's become clear that there are lots of reasons, both in and out of battle, to switch monsters. Some can climb vines, some can go on ice or go in water, some can smash rocks. They also have offensive or defensive skills that are really advantageous in certain battles. And that's the thing, you're not just killing the monsters, you are a monster rider in this game. So it's very much like Monster Hunter mixed with Pokemon. Now, if I do have a complaint, it's that leveling up new monsters can be kind of slow. Like, there's this one part in the game where, like, oh, it would be really helpful if you were able to get a monster that was freeze-resistant and can shoot fire. And so I did that, and you're required to as part of the story. But then it's like, okay, well, now this is a level one monster, and so I spent, like, 2 hours just leveling it up so it could be a viable competitor in combat. So, you know, out of that 18 hours I've played, two of those were just, like, leveling this guy up and leveling up all my other monsters. Fortunately, all the monsters that are in your party, you know, gain experience. You can only have, I think, 5 monsters in your party at once, and any that aren't used, you know, you're just storing them somewhere, they don't get experience, but still, having 5 monsters level up at once is certainly better than just one. It also became clear to me after playing the final game is that it is only you and one monster in battle, but there's no penalty for swapping in other monsters, and you can control your monster's special attack somewhat, so it's not nearly as limited as I thought it was in the demo. When I played the demo, I thought the monster was just attacking on its own, but no, you do have some manner of control. The rock, paper, scissors battle triangle keeps things really interesting. And now that I've got this ability to combine skills, that's how I got the anti-freezing, fireball-breathing monster. It seems like there's lots of really cool possibilities there. I haven't done a whole bunch of this, you know, sort of crossbreeding going on, but I do like the potential. I've also been able to try out the amiibo functionality, which was something that was not in the demo. And it works with almost every freaking amiibo out there. Most of them, you scan them in and you just get some items, but you can also get some exclusive monsters. And I picked up all of the exclusive Japanese Monster Hunter amiibo that came out like a year ago. And all of those give me access to really cool, highly skilled monsters. And I was really pleased to see that those still fully function in the US version of the game. Of course, I can't really use them that well because my hunter ability is too low, so right now I can't even put them in my party, but I'm looking forward to the part of the game where I get that skill level and I can put them in there, and that'll be really fun, I think. So overall, I'd say it's a really solid game so far. You know, it's a little slow, it's a little rough around the edges, but it's super robust, it's quite fun, it's very Pokemon-esque, and if this hasn't sold you on it, all I can say is, you know, go to the eShop, try out the demo. I got, you know, 7 hours out of that demo. So, you know, check it out, enjoy it, and see if it's for you.
Cool. I will almost certainly take it on the go with myself.
With your bad self.
With my bad self. Yeah, why not? It's free.
Yeah, it's free and it, you know, really extensive for a demo. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Can't beat it. The other game I have been playing recently, no monsters, but there are dragons, and that is Double Dragon 4 on the Switch. Scott, did you pick up this one by any chance?
I wasn't even aware of this. This is bizarre. So, Double Dragon 4, please,
yeah, well,
please,
it did kind of come out
me.
Of nowhere.
I had no idea.
Well, it hit other systems way back in January.
Okay.
I was playing it on PS4 back then, but I had no idea it was coming out on Switch. It just popped into the eShop last week. There it is. And I'll be honest, I didn't think it was the greatest game on PS4, but I still had to pick it up because it was only $7. And it's just a weird game, man. It's very NES inspired. It's not based on the old Double Dragon arcade games where it all started. No, it's very heavily inspired by the NES game. It reuses some sprites exactly out of like Double Dragon 2, even some directly out of Double Dragon 1. And for some reason, it is set specifically between the events of Double Dragon 2 and Double Dragon 3. And as far as I can tell, there is no reason for that from a story perspective. It's not like in the Double Dragon lore, something crazy happened in Double Dragon 3 that would prevent this game from being set after it. But that's what they have said.
It's bizarre.
And
then
the story is just awful. The ending is terrible.
No. Like, what?
Well, who plays Double Dragon for the story and the ending? You get it so you can punch people in the face. And, you know, It does that pretty solidly. It has a lot of moves. It has a good variety of enemies and stages. But the difficulty is just a completely uneven mess.
That's a shame.
I mean, this is how it works, is that the enemies will just kind of swarm you. You know, in the NES games, it was pretty limited. You could only fight like two or three enemies at a time because that was probably all the hardware could handle. In this one, you can be facing like six or more enemies at once, and they will just all attack you, and there's pretty much nothing you can do about it, except for the weird fact that if you move to the very top or bottom of the screen, the enemies cannot hit you, and you cannot hit them. So it's just like a safe zone you can go to like catch your breath. And thus, the game sort of turns into this game of hit and run where, you know, you'll be fighting the enemies and then it's like, okay, this is not going my way. Let's just duck up here for a minute and see if hopefully I can get into a good position. But it just kind of ruins the flow, or what should be the flow, of your typical beat 'em up. So it's just very bizarre. It was built that way, and you know, the enemies feel awfully cheap. Oh, and there is platforming too. Some kind of cheap platforming where you know, you're not gonna, you know, it's like, oh, this thing just disappeared.
I've never known Double Dragon to be a platforming game.
Well, there was platforming in both Double Dragon 1 and 2, and I hated that part in Double Dragon 1 because like the collision on the platforms was kind of wonky, so it didn't seem like I was at the edge of the platform, but you would suddenly just fall to your death. And that game had no continues. Oh, it was such a pain in the butt. So it's way more forgiving than that, at least. But, yeah, there is, you know, platforming, disappearing platforms and spinning platforms and things that crush you as you try to walk past. And, yeah, a surprising amount of platforming for something that's not a platformer. But, you know, it is kind of true to the series' roots because it did have elements like that in Double Dragon 1 and 2 on the NES. I will say that compared to the PS4 version, it has fixed the scroll tearing. There was some nasty scroll tearing in the PS4 game, and I don't know, maybe they fixed that in the patch or something, maybe they didn't, and that is not present in the Switch version, which is much appreciated. Another cool thing about the game is that it has tons of unlockables. You can basically unlock every enemy as a playable character and then play through them in story mode. So if you want, you can actually unlock a Bobo and play through the game as a Bobo. You can actually have a real Bobo adventure officially in a Double Dragon game.
All right. Well, it sounds like I'm going to have to skip this one. Is there a demo? No.
There is no demo. The game also, it has a two-player mode, but I have not had a chance to try that out yet. You know, on PS4, of course, you have to buy, you know, a stupid expensive extra controller to do that. On Switch, you know, it's built in because you've got, you know, two Switch controllers right there. So I'll tell you what, the next time I see you, I'll bring it over and we can try it out in two-player mode and see if, you know, maybe that increases my enjoyment of the game, playing it in co-op. But yeah, it just seems weird and wonky and kind of flawed, and you know, I'm still kind of enjoying it in some ways because I do like beat-em-ups, but I can't actually recommend it. So It is definitely an odd, unusual game that I'm somehow getting enjoyment out of. So that is my position on that. I do look forward to trying in two-player mode. That could be fun. Playing as a Bobo is definitely fun. All right, that takes care of our game impressions. I think this is a good place to take an intermission, so let's do that. And then when we come back, we'll discuss this week's big topic, which is our favorite non-Mario platformers. All right, we are back and we are ready to discuss this week's big topic, which is our favorite non-Mario platforming games. Obviously, we were talking a lot earlier about Super Mario Odyssey and Nintendo's new information about the game, but, you know, that's still more than a month off. Maybe in the meantime, you want to play some other platformers, but not something super obvious like other Super Mario games. So here are a few suggestions to whet your platforming palate, if you will.
Let's do it. I didn't know there were non-Mario platformers, so I'm interested to see what you picked.
Well, there are a plenty, but before we get into that, let me go on a little bit of a rant here about, you know, what is a platformer, really? And to me, it is a game that emphasizes level navigation and usually jumping over other aspects of the game. Because, I mean, a lot of games have platforming aspects, especially 8-bit and 16-bit games. Almost every 2D side-scroller had a jump button. You had to do jumping in a lot of games, like Mega Man or Castlevania or Contra. But because they focus on combat, such as shooting or whipping, as much as they do level navigation, I would be hard-pressed to call those platformers. You know, maybe action platformers, perhaps. But I think the difference between something like Mario and Ghosts and Goblins is pretty clear. So what are some of the trademarks of platformers? You know, bottomless pits or, you know, instant death pits of spikes. You know, those are sort of trademarks of platformers. Lots of thingies to collect. Doodads of some sort is a good trademark. And reliance on jumping as a form of attack or the lack of traditional weapons like swords or guns. You know, instead maybe you're grabbing an object and throwing it, or you're acquiring a temporary power-up like Mario's Fire Flower. Of course, these aren't hard and fast rules. You don't necessarily become a platformer because you have these elements. You're not a platformer because they don't. You know, Mario can punch in Super Mario 64. Donkey Kong has a coconut gun. But, you know, it's a good indicator to try to maybe get a feel if is this game a platformer. On the other hand, if you're doing a lot of non-linear exploration, gaining new skills to grow your character, solving puzzles, then perhaps the game is not a platformer and is more of an action-adventure game with some platforming elements. So, you know, the more the focus is on things aside from level navigation, the less comfortable I am labeling it a platformer. I saw someone calling Metroid a platformer not too long ago, and, you know, it's a great game and you do lots of jumping, but, you know, the focus is really on exploration, discovery, and backtracking and shooting and using these various weapons and items and getting new moves. And so I feel like it's almost a disservice to call the game a platformer because it does, you know, so much more. But, you know, this whole thing is really arbitrary. You know, genre classification is very arbitrary. You know, Shovel Knight is very platformery, but the devs officially call it an action adventure. But, you know, if we're going to classify games by genre, it might as well mean something. If every 2D side-scroller where you can jump is a platformer, why bother calling anything a platformer? At any rate, that's where we're coming from, and that's where we came from at NP when we described a game as a platformer, and that's what we had in mind when coming up with this list of the top non-Mario platforming games.
Okay.
So I think probably the most obvious place to start with when you're talking about a non-Mario platformer is the Sonic the Hedgehog series. You know, obviously that has been Mario's rival in platforming for a long, long time. And with good reason. It actually is really, really good, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, but I'm not the biggest Sonic fan, so you don't want to hear from me.
Well, so have you played Sonic Mania, man?
I haven't. Okay, so I haven't played Sonic Mania, and I understand it's really, really good.
Okay, well, you should really get into Sonic Mania. That's a good starting point.
I will.
It is. It's a really good place to learn what Sonic is all about.
Yeah.
It's certainly not the only great Sonic game out there on Nintendo systems. I mean, mm-hmm. You could start with the original on Virtual Console and play just, you know, the original Genesis Sonic the Hedgehog. But as for more recent stuff, Sonic Colors on Wii is fantastic. Sonic Generations mm-hmm. on 3DS is fantastic. You know, I think they nailed both the speed and the platforming aspects of the character. And so I think that would be an excellent place to start for some non-Mario platforming action.
Awesome. Yeah, my biggest gripes of Sonic are floaty jumping and the fact that I'm kind of penalized for, you know, trying to explore. I just go too fast and miss half the level.
Well, that's the thing about Sonic Mania is that, you know, it rewards both. It rewards the exploration and it rewards going fast. Mm-hmm. It's got the multiple routes. It's all in there. We've talked about it before on the podcast, so I don't want to, you know, beat that horse too much, or that hedgehog too much, I should say. But it's definitely worth checking out for anyone looking for a great platforming title, whether you're a long-term fan of Sonic or not.
Yeah, I am holding out for real physical Sonic Mania, but
it's probably going to happen. I'm surprised
it
hasn't.
I hope it does.
They'll probably sucker me with it when it does.
I hope it does.
It's weird that it hasn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, as for another great mascot character that's been around a long time, let's talk about Rayman. I know that is one of your favorites. So
Rayman is one of my favorites. I think that beyond the fact that it's so beautiful, it's just really smart. It demands perfection sometimes in some of your, you know, jumps, and trying to collect all the things is kind of a fool's errand at a certain point in the Rayman games. They're absolutely gorgeous games. They're hand-drawn art style.
And you're mostly talking about the more recent ones,
Rayman Origins and Rayman Legends. I wasn't a huge fan of Rayman before that, and I wasn't really even playing other Rayman games. I know Rayman.
Yeah, I mean, I remember 3D. Rayman 2 on the N64 was pretty decent. But yeah, it's really these more recent Rayman games that's where it's at. And I believe that Rayman Legends for the Switch just came out earlier this week. So if you have not played it before, that is an excellent place to dive in and give it a shot.
Yeah, I'm excited to play Rayman Legends in handheld fashion. I have it on either PS4 or Xbox One, I don't remember. Oh, and of course I have it on my Wii, I should say. So yeah, I love these Rayman games. I think even if it was the exact same game we already had, it's just a really fun game, and it rewards repeat play. So I think that's a no-brainer.
Yep, Rayman, definitely an excellent couple of games. Another one of my favorites coming from third parties is Klonoa. And I know that one is, you know, probably kind of obscure to the Nintendo audiences. It was originally out on PlayStation back in the day, but there was a really, really great remake that came out on Wii. I would highly recommend to anybody. And the gameplay hook in that one is that you grab enemies and then you can throw them, or you can use them for a double jump. So you're constantly grabbing these enemies and then, you know, launching yourself into the air to reach new areas. And it lends itself to some really fantastic level design because of that. And it's also got, you know, a really cool story going on as well. And just a whole lot of fun. Plus, I think Klonoa's got a little bit of a float going on there, you know, sort of Yoshi-like, that can help him reach you know, certain platforms and areas as well. All the requisite collectibles, puzzle pieces to find, lots of good stuff. If you have a chance to pick this one up, you know, find it on sale in a bargain bin somewhere, absolutely do it, because it's an awesome game.
Hmm. Yeah, I've heard you talk about Klonoa before, and I still haven't played it, but I did watch it on YouTube, and it looks really interesting.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of fun. Another weird, quirky third-party platformer title that I've always enjoyed is Billy Hatcher and the Giant Egg.
I've seen this played at GDQ, the Games Done Quick, on Twitch, and I thought it was ridiculous, but
it is ridiculous.
People speedrun this game apparently, and it's, you know, it's silly, but it looks really fun.
It's totally goofy. It stars a kid in a rooster costume, and I think that's why, you know, it didn't sell very well. I think a mascot character like this would have done gangbusters in like the 16-bit era, but coming out when it did on the GameCube, people are like, why is there a boy in a chicken suit in this game? I don't want to play that. But, you know, look past that. It's quirky, it's funny, it's cool. And, you know, that giant egg in the title isn't just part of the title. You really do carry around like these eggs, and it's like the whole basis of the gameplay. Like, you bounce off them, you roll down tracks with them, and it's just all about using this egg in creative platforming ways to get through the stages. Even, you know, you're crushing enemies with the egg, you're fighting bosses with the egg. It's silly and bizarre, but totally awesome. I haven't played it in a long time because my GameCube isn't hooked up, but man, I almost feel like just hooking it up and playing through it again just because it was so much fun. It's from Sonic Team, by the way, so that you know, goes a long way in showing its pedigree. Of course, this list would not be complete without mentioning Donkey Kong Country. That's another obvious one. My favorite in the series is still the original Donkey Kong Country. It was the first, and for me, it just flows the best for some reason. I love getting into a rhythm with that game, and just the way, you know, you bounce off enemies, or your rides, or the barrels, and you're bouncing off a tire, or swinging on a vine, or then launching from a barrel. And when you get into that rhythm, and you really start feeling it, you know, I just have a blast with that game, and I don't care what anybody else says. A lot of my former coworkers are always really down on that series, but that original one, man, it is still really great. And the most recent ones, too. You know, Tropical Freeze was fantastic as well.
Tropical Freeze is probably my favorite in the whole series.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that one is really, really excellent also. Can't knock it at all.
And speaking of Donkey Kong, I wanted to put, and I know it's kind of against the non-Mario platformers.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
Thing, but I wanted to put DK, the Donkey Kong from the Game Boy, which a lot of people refer to as Donkey Kong 94.
Yes. No, absolutely.
It's possibly one of the best platformers ever made.
Yeah, I mean, technically Mario is the star, but it doesn't have his name in the title. Yeah, it's a Donkey Kong game. For the purposes of this list, sure, I definitely allow it because it is awesome.
If you haven't played it, when you play the first level, it's like, oh, this is just the original Donkey Kong. What the heck?
Yeah, the first couple levels are just pretty much a straight up Game Boy port of Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
But then it gets past that.
It gets really good. It's just it's like almost a puzzle platformer. And
it is. It definitely has some puzzle-like aspects to it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it holds up. It really holds up. And if you haven't ever played it, I recommend you search it out. I'm sure it's on the 3DS eShop at this point, isn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely on Virtual Console. Yep, it was one of the earliest Virtual Console games for Game Boy that I can remember. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it is definitely out there. And if you don't have it, it's absolutely worth your while. Excellent game. I suppose another, really obvious one should be the Kirby series also. I mean, it's weird because that one, sort of trends into more of the action game territory. Sometimes it's less a platformer than others, but, some of the games are absolutely, for sure, totally platformers. And, I'd say overall, I would consider it a platforming series, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And there are very few sour notes in the Kirby series. I'm not the biggest Kirby fan, but the Kirby games I played on the NES and on the 3DS, I've enjoyed immensely. So
it's kind of all over there, but I really, really like Kirby's Epic Yarn. I think that is a really fantastic and beautiful game, especially for the Wii.
It is
amazing for a Wii game, and also Planet Robobot, which I guess kind of is veering more into the action territory than just platformer, but it's still a really cool game. Triple Deluxe was another really fun
I never
one as
played
well.
Triple Deluxe. Did you play Canvas Curse? I know that's kind of really stretching the limits of what a platformer is, but
I don't know. I mean, you're like literally drawing platforms that game, so I mean, it's not traditional platformer, but in some ways it might be the most literal platform you can come up with. I wasn't the biggest fan of that game when it came out on DS, and then I never played the remake on Wii U, but I know it certainly has its audience, and there's nothing else quite like it. It's very interesting,
like it,
to say the least.
Yep.
Yeah, it's certainly worth looking into. Okay, my next one definitely goes way back. This is an oldie, but goodie. Tiny Toon Adventures Buster Busts Loose. I'm sure I bring this one up anytime we're talking about, Konami games or licensed games or lost Super NES games, but there's a reason for that, and that's because it is really, really freaking amazingly good. It was a platformer through and through, and the main hook in that game is that you have this dash button. You can dash straight up these walls, and when you get into later levels, you're like climbing up the walls, jumping from wall to wall. Oh, and it's limited. You have this gauge to watch out for, so you're constantly worrying about that, resource management going on. But lots of super long jumps when you're dashing, and like I said, climbing up these vertical surfaces, really, really awesome game. You have played this one, right?
Oh yeah, I've played this. It's a classic.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the only Konami game on this list.
Yeah, I suppose it is.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, this could have easily just been a throwaway licensed game, and it's really one of the highlights of the SNES licensed
games. It is. I mean, they did make a few other Tiny Toons games. There was a Genesis one, there were NES ones, but this one is by far the best. And like I said, that dashing mechanic is just amazing. It's worth anyone tracking this one down and playing it in some form or another. But speaking of awesome licensed cartoon games, another one that can't be overlooked would be DuckTales.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite games of all time. And it's so sad that it's caught up in like licensing hell because of the Disney game.
Oh,
well, not necessarily. Well, I mean, but it's not on a Nintendo system, so it doesn't even count.
Well, the original, DuckTales Remastered, yes, that one did come out.
Yes, that's right, on the Wii.
That's a fantastic update to that series, and I'm really happy with what WayForward did with that one. Yeah, it does seem that Capcom has overcome the licensing issues because they were able to make that compilation on other systems. I'm just crossing my fingers that one of these days
we'll
be able to get the original.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's all a collection of NES games. How is that not coming to Switch? Just so ridiculous that they aren't doing that. I mean, there's got to be some strange reason they're not.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's just, it's a fun game. It's got great fantastic music, and you've got that pogo jump. Mm-hmm. So you're using that to explore new areas, you're using that to smash rocks, and using it to bounce off enemies and get even higher into, you know, the level and explore new stuff. And it's just a really, really well-polished gameplay mechanic.
And it's a game, if you're good at, you can finish within like 20 minutes or so. It takes way longer than yeah. that to master. But once you get really good at it, you can really, you know, go for a good time. And that's, it's popular in a speedrunning community.
Yeah, I actually played the time trials in the PS4 port that mm-hmm. came out recently. And I was surprised how fast I was able to do that. I'm like, wow, I'm really going through this game in like, you know, under 20 minutes yeah, or whatever. Yeah. This is crazy. Speaking of games with, you know, sort of a pogo jump type mechanic, that takes us on to the next one on our list, Shovel Knight.
Shovel Knight. This is such a good game. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. It's just a wonderful, fun game. And the fact that they kept adding value to this game after you paid the entry fee to buy this game, it's incredible mm-hmm. that they can afford to add what they've added to this game. Shovel Knight is just a wonderful platformer. It's a lot of fun. It's got a great sense of humor, laugh out loud funny, and mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's very precise platforming, so frustration levels are high sometimes, but it's never
unfair. I suppose,
unfair.
But it's fairly generous with the checkpoints.
Yeah, and it never feels unfair.
But, you know, I was wondering if we should even include it, because like I was saying earlier, the developers don't even call it a platformer. Yeah. You do have the shovel for melee attacks.
There's
you can
even
get lots
like RPG
of new abilities.
Elements. Yeah, there's RPG
yeah.
elements. Yep.
But the platforming is done, you know, so well, and it is such an important part of the game that I would say it's certainly, you know, I can bend my own rules enough to say, yeah, there's enough emphasis on level navigation and platforming and the fact that you do attack with your jump. I mean, I don't know about you, but when I played, using that downward thrust jump attack with your shovel was way more useful and effective against most enemies than just swinging your shovel
oh,
or
yeah.
doing anything else. So it almost felt to me like that was the way the game was meant to be played, you know, taking a page out of Scrooge McDuck's playbook with that pogo jump. And I know they've said it's more inspired by Zelda 2's downward thrust, mm-hmm. but come on. It feels so DuckTales-ish, it's not even funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is an excellent game. This next one, though, I wanted to mention, strangely enough, you cannot even jump in the game. The game is VVVVVV. You can pick it up on your 3DS, and instead of jumping, the whole thing relies on a gravity manipulation mechanic. And, you know, you're moving along, and you're moving to platform and dodging these deadly spikes and other obstacles, but you're always doing it by just flipping the gravity, and that makes you, you know, move up to the ceiling, and it's all just so fluid and responsive that you're just flipping back and forth. That's kind of like, you know, you're just jumping from platform to platform. It's really creative and clever and retro-inspired and really not like anything else on this list. So I definitely wanted to make sure that that comes to people's attention if they aren't aware of this one already.
Yeah, I haven't played this, and I know so much about it because I've seen it everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I know about the gravity mechanic, and that sometimes hurts my brain having to look at yourself playing upside down and, you know, but without having to jump when you're upside down, I think that makes it slightly less, you know, brain twisty. So
yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a bit of a learning curve maybe to get a hold of it, but once you do, it becomes really fun. I hadn't played it in probably a couple of years, mm-hmm. but I fired it up last night just to get reacquainted with it. And it, you know, fit like a glove. It's a really, really great yeah. game. And I guess that mostly finishes off the list of favorite platformers, but there is one more I wanted to give a shout out to. You know, I'm not sure I'm ready to say this is like, you know, one of the best platformers just yet, but the recently released Chicken Wiggle on 3DS is definitely deserving of people's attention. You know, I've heard from the developer that apparently people are not paying attention to this game in the 3DS eShop, but you know what? You totally should. It's absolutely worthwhile, and apparently it's going to be going on sale, I think right now. I believe it was $15 when it came out. It's going to be down to only $10 now. It's got, you know, really fun jumping and grappling play mechanics. I love the grappling stuff. The grappling stuff is super fun, and there is an amazing level editor. So aside from all the levels that are just built into the game, which I think is 48 levels, there's like, you know, 300 free to download user created levels, which totally makes it worthwhile. So if you haven't considered that one, I definitely recommend giving it a thought and giving it a shot.
Cool. Yeah, I've heard you talk about this game before. I think when you did a first look. And I didn't pick it up, but now I have a reason to. Thank you.
Yeah, grab it while it's on sale. It's pretty darn nifty. And with that, I believe that brings this week's big topic to a close. But before we wrap up this episode, We have time for one more thing, and that is a dramatic reading. Once again, continuing the adventures of Captain Nintendo. Last time, following a strange explosion, Nintendo employees Brett Randles, Tara Bates, and Max Powers were introduced to Emerald, the Omni-Intelligence who resided in an NES game pack. Emerald explained that the explosion was caused by Tara's piping hot cup of coffee. And now, the saga continues. My coffee, Tara cried. Oh, Brett, I'm so sorry. That's all right, Tara, said Brett. I'm sure that... No sweat, Sherlock. Basically, the only really big things that happened are me, your boyfriend souped-up powers, and one other thing. What do you mean, my boyfriend souped-up powers? Shouted Tara. Oh, come on, said Emerald. Sensors show definite irregular heartbeat and brainwave patterns. You two either have an algebra test you didn't study for, or you're hot for each. That will do, Big Mouth, interrupted Brett abruptly. The lady was asking what you meant by souped-up powers. Oh, said Emerald. Well, excuse me. I thought you already knew about that part. My sensors and radar show a molecular bioneural reconstruction has taken place. In English, Emerald, said Tara. Got it, replied the monitor. Okay. These really rad microchips, like, fused with our dude's central nervous system, and now, he be jammin'. Is there an off switch to this thing somewhere? Brett said, to no one in particular. Hey, chill, Holmes. All right. In a nutshell, you have the following powers. You have the ability to temporarily actualize or give life to two-dimensional electronic life forms and control those life forms. You have complete control over the color spectrum, brightness, and darkness, and loudness, all within a radius of 50 feet. You have control over electrical currents, and you have control over some microchip informational systems like certain computers or phones. The abilities, Emerald went on, allow you to emit the following. An electrical blast akin to a small lightning bolt, a sonic wave blast, and a spectrum ray. Beams of light, such as blinding white, infrared, ultraviolet, colors, X-ray, and others. Wow.
Wow, that was really terrible. What a waste.
that was just, quite the information dump. Dreck. I mean that in more than one way.
I can understand why people complain that this took up precious space in the magazine that really should have been devoted to pictures of video games and maybe some words about them. It's almost like an editor had like this flight of fancy, like I could be a comic book writer. I was meant for something better than this reviewing video game stuff. And some editor in the corner is like, I'm going to be writing about Captain, you know, Nintendo, and it's going to be brilliant, and kids are going to want to. What it could split off into its own comic book series. Oh, it's awful! It's awful. Yeah,
well, apparently, it was what led to the creation of an entire, you know, TV cartoon show.
It makes no sense, and it's bad. And they should feel bad.
But yeah, that's wow. That was yeah. Like I said, quite the information dump. So, I mean, we still haven't seen Captain Nintendo in any action yet, but who knows? Maybe next
week. Maybe next week
something will start happening. Yeah, don't take any wagers on that. You don't know. Maybe we'll finally get somewhere. Anyway, that does it for us this week. As always, you can find us at powerpros.podbean.com, and you can follow us at PowerProsPod on both Facebook and Twitter. You can follow me, The Hoff, on Twitter at Chris The Hoff, and you can find Scott at Plastic Bugs. You can email us at powerprospod@gmail.com. And if you like the podcast, it'd be great if you'd give us a rating on iTunes. Thanks for listening, everybody. And Scott, thanks so much for joining me this week as a special guest co-host. For myself, Scott Michella.
Gotta get back to space.
And Scott's other child, Larry Koopa.
Oh, yeah!
We will see you next time.